This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
On a great day for talk radio, Andrew Scheer, leader of the opposition, is going to join us a little later in the program. They've been having a field day in the House of Commons before they shut down for a week, just pounding on this SNC-Lavalin case, where Justin Trudeau is not forthcoming, according to a piece in the Globe and Mail. Let's get Conrad Black in here on that matter and more, noted author, commentator, and historian. Conrad, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, John.
So what do you make of this SNC-Lavalin case? Are these cumulative missteps that draw credibility into question going to be the Liberals' undoing, you think?
I doubt it. But with that said, I'm not sure we're at the bottom of it. You know, I mean, I think if you, I mean, maybe I'm out of date. These things move quickly as issues. But has there been a further revelation today that involves prominent Liberals in potential serious wrongdoing?
Nobody's saying anything. The whole point is that the Prime Minister is disavowing that they directed the PMO, or he directed Jody Wilson-Raybould as the Attorney General, to go easy on SNC-Lavalin, giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's not about directing. It's whether or not they asked her to pressure, or they pressured her, rather, in order to give SNC-Lavalin the benefit of the doubt. Because it's billions and billions of dollars at stake. So really, is it political interference? Or?
Well, yeah, you see, I don't know if there's any new evidence. I mean, at one point, I mean, if all that happened was the Attorney General was asked to, you know, be fair but not severe, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, in general, we should try and be fair and not aspire to be severe. And I knew some of the SNC-Lavalin people, and as far as I knew, I mean, they did build up a very respected and successful company, and then everything went horribly wrong. But, I mean, as far as I've ever seen, it went horribly wrong because of an excess of confidence, excessive borrowing, misjudgment of costs of projects, not people embezzling money or anything like that. Now, what do I know? But that, you know, you give everyone the benefit of the doubt unless there's contrary proof, I think. But if, in fact, if this was an old-fashioned case of by which I mean the kind of thing that was fairly routine 100 years ago or something, even John A. Macdonald did a bit of it, you know, in the railway business, of the government essentially telling the Justice Department, the Attorney General, to lay off friends of the regime, that would blow the government up if you can prove it.
Well, they say the company's charged with bribing Libyan officials under the regime of Muammar.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about that.
Okay.
I mean, look, if you want to do business in Libya, that's what you have to do. And it's terribly unpleasant, and it offends the sensibilities of Canadians. I remember in my brief career as chairman of Massey Ferguson, when I was sternly lectured in the Toronto Star about us selling farm equipment in Zimbabwe and Zambia and some of the other countries in that area, and at the request of the buyers, overbilling them, and then they paid some of the bill to their own account someplace, but paid us what our real bill was. And we were taking heat for this. And I remember one fine day going up to call upon Bill Davis and telling him, I'll do whatever you people want me to do. We're not profiting one cent from this. But, you know, if you want us to bill the way your guy said in the legislature today, that Massey Ferguson plant in your district is going to shut down because it supplies Africa. Well, you know, they thought better of it then. I mean, you know, come on, we're not Boy Scouts. As long as our own people aren't embezzling money, you've got to accommodate the countries that you're dealing with.
Again, with Conrad Black. Interesting. Okay. Because we'll see with Andrew Scheer what he has to say. Also, John Carpe is going to join us from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms.
A very fine man and a good friend.
Well, you know, they've also just employed Lindsay Shepherd, she of the Wilfrid Laurier Jordan Peterson debacle, and she's going to go on to campuses and speak to freedom of expression, free speech, and so on and so forth.
I think that's a great story. A person was persecuted like that, you know, trying to really do something to clean up that reign of terror of political correctness on our campuses.
Well, have you ever spoken at colleges and universities?
I have done, yeah.
What was the reception like?
Well, it's been a while, but in general, they were fairly respectful of me personally, but they sort of sat in their hands, you know. I mean, they were very polite, and they didn't want to get up and debate with me, but I've got to say they didn't I had a few demonstrators at Western a couple of years ago, and I actually had a few demonstrators at Kingston a couple of months ago, but only a few, and they didn't interrupt anything. And the people right there in the room that I was talking to were always very nice.
All right, so Lindsay Shepherd going into the lion's den, so to speak, because it seems to me academia is fraught with all kinds of socialist and progressive thinking versus critical thinking. Are these incubators for that kind of leftist thought?
They are, and it's what my late friend Malcolm Muggeridge, the famous British writer and journalist, called the Great Liberal Death Wish. I mean, here we are turning our pockets as a society inside out to build and maintain these gigantic universities, and they are largely dedicated to the complete denigration of the society that created them. I mean, it's insane.
Well, I mean, the insanity is only ramping up if I'm looking stateside, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with this green plan that she's got, the Green New Deal. There will be no airplanes, I guess, in 12 years. Everything is going to be high-speed.
And cows will be forbidden to flatulate. How they're going to enforce that one is will be interesting.
Some kind of a girdle, I think, appendage.
My wife Barbara says a diaper.
Right. But, you know, the more serious question or subtext to all of that, do you think we're living in an age of neo-McCarthyism now, where things like, I look at Liam Neeson, that story from 40 years ago, he recounts a tale of where in his own fit of anger, he may have wanted to harm a black man that he came across. He admitted as such, never acted upon it. And they're saying, like, you know, this could be a career ender. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. And I don't believe it will be. But it is indicative of this mentality. No, to answer your questions, but I mean, since you put it to me, I'm not saying I have all the answers, but you did ask me. And my answer is there is a McCarthyite element, but it will not succeed. And it certainly galls and astounds a great many people that this is the fact. But the leader of the counter-McCarthyite element is none other than the familiar and not always welcome face of Donald J. Trump. I mean, he's the one who's saying, this is McCarthyism and it's got to stop. I mean, look at this nonsense that he was subjected to. It is now obvious to everyone with an IQ above single figures that there's nothing to this Russian-Trump collusion thing, absolutely nothing. The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Burr of North Carolina, said yesterday, after recounting the stupefying number of witnesses and documents they interviewed and scrutinized, respectively, said, on all of the immense research that has been done by this committee for 2 years with a huge staff and full cooperation from the White House, we have not found one shred of evidence of any collusion between the Trump organization and any foreign government or any foreign organization. And yet he was being hounded night and day by most of the national media with suggestions he was about to be impeached for treason. And that was the explanation that Mrs. Clinton, the losing candidate, gave in her book about the election of why she lost it.
Yeah, I'm curious, the final thing, you mentioned the media. The Washington Post chose not to run a story where one of these college professors from Stanford claimed she was sexually assaulted at the 2004 Democratic Convention in Boston by, I guess, the second in line, the lieutenant governor in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whereas before with the Kavanaugh hearing and other such, we're told through the Me Too movement, the women should always be believed, the left is sweeping it under the rug. The Washington Post didn't even want to report that story.
I know we're coming to an end, so let me just wrap it up with this. The Democrats at this moment look like they're going for such an extreme green program that they will shut down the petroleum industry and reconstruct every building in the United States and get rid of transportation as we know it on the roads. They're also on the verge of saying abortion is too much of an inconvenience. Mothers will have the children, and then once they're born, they can decide whether to kill them or let them live. And we will have open borders, and anyone who wants into the U.S. can come in, not bother with any procedure at all, and then vote once they're inside the U.S. and be eligible for all welfare benefits. We're going to have what amounts to disarmament and 75% personal income tax rates. If they run on that program, even, and I wrote this in the National Review last week, even the District of Columbia, which 2 years ago voted 94% to 4% for Mrs. Clinton, will vote for Trump. Wow. Everything. He will take the whole country, and he will beat Mr. Nixon's record of an 18 million vote plurality. Those McCarthyites are there, but they are not the people.
All right. Well, it sounds decisive. I mean, that kind of a turnaround. Conrad, it's always a pleasure. You have a great weekend, and we shall talk to you shortly.
Right, you are. Thanks, John.
Conrad Black, again, author, commentator, and historian.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.